May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. When do you pray? Is it at a regular set time, maybe a quiet time in the morning, or is it more irregularly? Is it at times of joy, of sorrow, when you seek comfort? Is it at the table with your family, or at night before you go to bed? Do you just pray when you come to church and sit in a pew like everybody else? Do you pray during the day as you go about your normal routine, maybe as you travel or in the car or on the bus? Do you pray as you take your dog for a walk, or when you wander on the beach or in the mountains as you contemplate creation? When I was in Switzerland, I always listened for the evening bell at exactly 8:01 p.m., and I took it as an opportunity for prayer. I would stop whatever I was doing, would step out onto the balcony, look up to the mountains and listen to the bell and pray. When the bell ringers here practice on Wednesday evening, as I hope they will soon do again, I still stop for a few minutes of prayer. Other than that, of course, I do pray with my children at night and have regular times of prayer during the day. For some, prayer has become such a natural habit that they are immersed in it constantly. An example in a more popular culture of such constant prayer is in the musical Fiddler on the Roof, where all problems and joys are brought before God continually. In our Old Testament reading, we heard how Nehemiah heard bad news about Jerusalem, the city of his ancestors. This grieved him so much that he turned to prayer, not just a quick prayer, but rather earnest prayer. He sat down and wept. He fasted and prayed 4 days. Nehemiah confessed the sins of his people and identified himself as one of the people, and therefore also with the people's sin. Nehemiah knew that this sin stands between Israel and God, and yet Nehemiah turned to God in his despair. For Israel, there was no one else to turn to. Nehemiah turns to God. In other words, he assaults the throne of God, reminds God of his promises, and expects God's help somehow, even in these troubled times. Nehemiah did bring his petition to God through this earnest prayer. And through that prayer, God also worked on Nehemiah so that Nehemiah would become part of the answer to that prayer. In the next chapter, we read that during this time of prayer, the thought that he, Nehemiah, was sent by God to help rebuild the city of his ancestors had formed in Nehemiah's mind. And it came to expression after another quick prayer in the king's presence. Because Nehemiah was so immersed in prayer, he turned to it quickly in an unexpected situation. The first letter to the Thessalonians was written to encourage the congregation and to sort out a few theological questions as well. But some of the valuable advice is not in the theological discussion, but rather in Paul's farewell, when he reminds the Thessalonians about some of the basics of Christian life. At times it is all too easy to focus on great questions and controversies and forget the basics. And among the basics of Christian life is to be joyful always, to pray continually, and to give thanks in all circumstances. Well, sadness, grief, and anger all come to us at times. So how could we be always joyful? We can't. And I think Paul is not advising us to put on a forced, superficial happiness. Nevertheless, joy can pervade our life. And it can do so exactly if we bring our frustrations, our losses, disappointments, and hurts to God in prayer. In prayer, we remember our own problems and also our own blessings, but we also bring before God others we know, our community, the world. We even pray for our enemies, those who obstruct us, who make life difficult for us. We come in intercession before God. As we bring the experiences of our life to God, that relationship is strengthened by thankfulness. That thankfulness also changes us so that we come closer to that joy that can be found in Jesus. The words of the Bible encourage us to come to God with bold prayers, to pour our hearts out to God. This is not just an empty gesture. Rather, prayer changes God's interaction with the world, contrary to the Greek view of God. But most of all, prayer changes us, makes us see the world and our own situation with new eyes. Through prayer, our focus is lifted from what immediately surrounds us, and we see the world from a heavenly perspective. We are immersed in God's presence. Formal written prayers can help us in our approach to God and can guide our praying. I hope you sensed some of that tonight. Together with that come specific prayers which we may put in our own words. At times, words fail us, and then when we do not know what we ought to pray for, the Spirit intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. So pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.